Welcome to Coaching the Life Coach, Strategies to Grow Your Transformational Practice. I'm your host, Jason McClain, your guide in the 21st century marketplace. And today in the show, we're talking about excellence in communication. Our guest is Ian Bly of Optimized Results. Welcome, Ian.
It's great to be here.
Ian's known for empathy, integrity, and honesty. I'm pleased to have you with us today, Ian. I'm sure that everybody could use a little bit more communication excellence. I'm sure they care about that. And so today we're going to be talking about first demystifying communication and also something you're calling three strikes of communication, which I love. I can't wait to get into that. And then finally, we'll be talking about what you attribute your success as a coach to. So those are the three subjects we'll be exploring today. So Ian, let me just first ask you a few questions about demystifying communication. What do you mean by demystifying communication? I mean, isn't communication clear already?
That's actually stepping right into the main problem. We seem to think that it's so easy, and it seems to be so on the surface, but unfortunately, we all speak a different variety of English. And the assumptions that we have between you're seeing in your head exactly what I'm seeing in my head when I'm speaking to you, and then we just move on from there in the sort of autopilot fashion. And unfortunately, we're wrong almost all the time.
Gotcha. So that, you know, the question or the answer to the question may seem obvious, but why is demystifying communication important?
Well, what I noticed over the years is that there is an incredible amount of time that gets wasted in at least stewing over the last interaction we just had with someone. And it's always stewing over things like being judged or stewing over what did they really understand what I was saying or did I really understand what they were saying? Gee, if it were me, it would have meant this, if I had said that sort of thing. And things are not getting accomplished. Things are not getting done while people are stewing and getting involved in all kinds of political mess.
Okay, gotcha. And so if there were some steps, you know, how do you assist your clients in demystifying communication? How do you do that?
Well, it's a number of steps. I start out with understanding what their framework is, the way that they take in, sort information, the way their filtration system works. Because the most important thing to be able to do, actually, is to step into an interaction with a very clean slate, with a very blank slate. And the only way to do that is to know what your own stuff is so that you can empty it out before you start. I call it the empty cup. It's from that old Zen story about the teacup, where the student wants to know all the rest of the information. They feel they're ready to hear the end of it, and the teacher says okay and starts filling their teacup, and it starts spilling out all over the table. And the student is saying, no, stop, you're filling it too much, it's overflowing. And the teacher says, yes, maybe you should come back when your cup is empty.
That's great. So what are some other steps or practices to demystifying communication?
Well, in demystifying communication, that means uncovering the hidden, basically. So the first step is I do a diagnostic phase to understand what your lens is, how you understand the world. And I use the Enneagram as my primary diagnostic tool. It seems to work very well because it has no clouding from behavior. And behavior seems to be mostly about our defense systems and strategies and things like that. It has very little to do with who we actually are. But our motivation speaks very deeply to who we are. So understanding that through the Enneagram helps me to understand your words, your images, your metaphors coming from the lens with which you see life.
And the Enneagram, for those lay people out there, is some sort of typing system or some sort of classification? What is that?
It is a wonderfully misunderstood system that on one end is somewhat of a typology typing system, but for the most part could really be simplified as imagining yourself sitting around a circle with a number of people, and everyone has a field of view that's directly in front of them, and everybody sees a slightly different picture directly in front of them, and nobody sees directly what's behind them. And that's our blind spot, and our field of view in front of us is how we see life.
Fantastic. Great. And so, Ian, what does it make possible for people when they demystify communication? They understand motivations and they understand these filters, and they really start to take these necessary steps to demystify communication. What does it open up in their lives? What does it make possible or allow for?
It opens up an ability to connect not only with other people in a much more authentic fashion, but an ability to connect with themselves in a much more authentic fashion. We use language all the time in our heads. We talk to ourselves. We drop a glass in the sink, and either we curse the glass or we curse ourselves. And that has a lot to do with how we treat everyone else. And so understanding how this works, we can start to become much more conscious and aware of how we approach these situations, rather than just the autopilot, push the button, there it is.
Perfect, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say about demystifying communication?
Well, primarily that it's not as complex as we are afraid that it is. A lot of the time, what we are avoiding is sort of this dark, vague, scary area. And as soon as we start digging into it, it actually becomes pretty fun. It's actually an enjoyable process. It's not a scary process at all.
Great, thank you. We're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. I'm Jason McClain, your host on Coaching the Life Coach. And I'm here with Ian Bly talking about communication excellence. And we'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jason McClain here with Ian Bly. And before the break, we were talking about steps to demystifying communication. And next, Ian, I'd love to ask you about this concept you have of the three strikes of communication. Can you say what you mean about that? It sounds very interesting.
Well, the three strikes are assumptions, projections, and avoidance. And all three of them combine to fill the space up where we would normally be asking questions and finding out the real information.
And can you say what each of those are?
Sure. Assumptions are primarily about the information itself. We don't have certain information, so we fill in the blank because nature abhors a void. So we will just sort of come up with something out of our heads. Projection is more about the experience. We don't understand what somebody's experience is, so we take our own experience, extrapolate outwards, and say, if it was me, then ... and fill in the blank. And avoidance is, of course, how we don't find out the information. We don't go after it for various reasons. We just sort of say, this is good enough, this information, whether it's right or wrong or indifferent, we're going to hold on to this as being our quote-unquote truth.
Okay. And so why is it important to avoid these three strikes?
In order to connect with another person, it's imperative that we actually get what they're trying to say, what they're feeling, etc. And when we fill in the blanks, what we've done is on several levels. On one level, we've disallowed their experience and disallowed anything that they have to bring to the interaction. The other thing that we've done is we've, on another level, shut them out by letting them know, either non-verbally, energetically, or whatever, that we're so full of the information that we've created in our own mind that there's no way to get across that bridge. There's no bridge to make. And the avoidance is just a reaffirmation of, well, whatever is in my head is good enough, so I don't need to go after it. But it can be from anything from us, well, I love the connection that I think we have, and so I'm going to pretend that I know what's going on in your head, and I pretend that I know what's going on in your heart. And by doing that, I actually shut you out so that you can't let me know what that is.
So there's a sense in which we live in this illusion because we like the illusion. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It can either be because we like the illusion, or it can be because we're genuinely afraid. There can be anxiety that, well, if I don't know this information, you'll judge me. You'll think I'm dumb because I don't know it, or you'll think I wasn't listening to you because I don't know it, or I'll feel some kind of shame around it, something along those lines.
Okay, great, thanks. And so what does it make possible in people's lives if they avoid these three strikes? What does it open up in their relationships for them personally, et cetera?
It's kind of miraculous. It's very simple and very tiny little adjustment that has enormous ramifications. By dispensing with it, again, this comes back to that empty cup principle. So the void, the vacuum that we create, opens up all of this space for the real information to happen, where we can find out what the other person's really thinking, really feeling, etc. And 9 times out of 10, it's nowhere near as bad as what we were creating in our own mind. So it reduces a whole lot of stress and anxiety. And on the other side of it, it allows us to actually really, really connect rather than this sort of hopeful pretend connection that we think we have with people.
Great. Thanks, Ian. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the three strikes? Of communication, that is.
As opposed to baseball. Yes. Most important thing, again, is coming down to this. Every time you say in your own head, well, if it was me saying that, ... or if it were me doing that, ... and if we can just catch ourselves in that one little tiny piece of non-compos mentis behavior, then we can put a little interrupt there and say, ah, but it isn't me. So let me find out what this person means by that.
So in a way, staying in the not knowing and inquiring.
Exactly. The more that we're in this space of sort of an appreciative inquiry where we're not badgering the person with questions necessarily, but we're never assuming that we know. If you sort of say in your head, I don't know, then you open up a space to learn. But as soon as you say, I do know, even if you don't, you've closed that space for learning.
Perfect. Thanks, Ian. We're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. I'm Jason McLean here with Ian Bly of Optimized Results, and we're talking about communication excellence. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to Coaching the Life Coach. Before the break, we were talking about the three strengths of communication. And now, Ian, I'd like to ask you, what do you attribute your success as a life coach to? And this would be the single most important principle you think there is, or a single quality or an approach, something of that nature, or some structure or system.
I'd say that probably the most important thing is that I completely live my work. By that, I mean, I embody what I do almost involuntarily. I can't not do what I do. It's so much a part of me. And I'm sure that that comes across. I'm sure that there's no way my clients have any other picture in their mind other than I'm totally 100% dedicated to their success. I don't have any other agenda. And that comes across. And I am able to rid myself of my own stuff when I'm with them so that I can join them in their experience and not be projecting and not be doing the assuming and certainly not avoiding anything, but jumping right into the thick of it with them.
Perfect. And why is it important? Why is living your work important? And why is really just fully being of service important from your perspective?
Sort of comes back to the old Gandhi quote about we must become the change we want to see. I don't think that you can ever really break away from the hypocrisy that people will get even on a subconscious level if you're not actually living what you say, breathing every day of the week.
Kind of undercuts the credibility a little bit.
Completely. Exactly. Exactly. And there's something to be said for just the aspect of living by example. I mean, if you're trying to help people to see that this works, then you've certainly got to be doing it so that they can see it in action. It's not just a verbal thing. It's not just a cerebral thing. But there it is, actually happening. So that level of connection that you're talking about them being able to accomplish, you're accomplishing it with them right there in the room. They get it. They see, hey, this is kind of neat. I want to do this too.
Perfect. And so, Ian, how is it that you, as a coach, always remind yourself or have integrated your work, or how is it that you live your work? What steps have you taken, or would you recommend other life coaches take?
Well, it definitely is, I would say, probably the most important thing that any coach can do is hire themselves regularly. If you're a good coach, you should definitely hire yourself and look at how you're doing, what you're doing. Do regular periodic checkups on yourself and give yourself coaching exercises in life. Give yourself things that you, little places to stretch, little places to grow, and measure, because you need to be able to look and measure and say, okay, am I doing what I originally intended to do? And what adjustments need to be made to tweak it here, tweak it there, and come in where I want to be?
I know I've been glad I've hired myself on a few occasions. Gee, if I were Jason,
exactly.
You know, and Jason was my client, you know, or if I was Jason's coach, what would I tell him to do here? Or what practices would I tell him to take on? That's great. And then what I'm curious is, as a life coach, what do you feel it opens up with your clients and with yourself and your business when you live your work and it's clear to your clients that you're living your work?
If I had to pick one word, it would be liberation. It is an absolutely liberating process, because to be driven by fixations, to be driven by unconscious compulsion, to be driven by all of these things that we don't quite know, why are we doing it this way? Why are we repeating patterns that we've told ourselves 1,000 times, we're not going to do this anymore, and yet we find ourselves doing it. So to be able to untie yourself from those kinds of fixations and understand it and become conscious about it and say, ah, there's that thing again, I'm not going to go there, allows you to feel much more in charge, much more in control of your own life, and a lot easier. It's just more comfortable and free.
I think we'd all like to feel a little bit more comfortable and free. Thanks, Ian. Listeners can reach me, Jason McLean, the host of Coaching the Life Coach, at jason@personallifemedia.com. There's two L's in Personal Life Media. Listeners can reach me, Jason McLean, the host of Coaching the Life Coach, at jason@personallifemedia.com. There's two L's in Personal Life Media. And Ian, we're almost out of time, but I just have one more question for you. I'm curious if you could tell us a story to really demonstrate the power of some of these techniques and approaches, this mindset of demystifying communication, not making any assumptions, things of that nature. Is there a story that would really illustrate this in a meaty way for our listeners?
Sure. Without going too deeply into actual enneagramic typing and whatnot, put it this
Yeah, let's avoid that.
Let's avoid that. The difference between perspectives can be so extreme as to almost look like people coming from different planets. It's the view of the world is so different. And a number of years ago, I had this experience of someone having a stroke and being in a coma, and two people rushing off to go take care of her, and one person seeing the way to do this as holding her hand, giving her good energy, loving, la la la. The other person disappears for a few days and then comes back and does some mechanical stuff that actually works to bring her out of the coma. This seems to be totally...
When you say mechanical stuff, you mean raised her arms or...
Actually shifted the angle of the bed to allow for her cerebrospinal fluid to mix at the right ratio. So in checking in, like, what the heck was this all about?
Right.
The person who had left had apparently spent the last 2 days studying stroke care, cerebrospinal fluid, everything on the net, and had learned how to fix the problem, because their view of the world is, there's something wrong, I need to fix it. There's a problem here, I need to fix it. The other person is thinking in terms of, how can I help, how can I help, how can I help?
And more from a loving, compassion kind of way.
Exactly. And here's the difference. They're actually both exactly as wrapped up in the love and compassion, but it shows up in such a different way that it can be completely misconstrued, completely misinterpreted. And the person who is showing love and compassion through fixing the problem is seen as being cold, when in fact it has nothing to do with that. It's just another way of looking at the world.
And they brought her out of the coma. Just
which is what often happens in a lot of the world. We look at, you know, the geeks shall inherit the earth. Well, there's a whole aspect of that where they are actually getting things done that need to be done. And as much as we can look at them and say, wow, again, if it were me, I'd be all weird if I was doing that. Where in fact, they're seeing the world completely as if they're sitting in the circle across from us, and they see what's behind our head, and we see what's behind their head, and it's a completely different picture of the world.
Perfect. Thanks for joining us today and sharing your insight, Ian.
Thank you.
I'm curious, how can people reach you? Do you do coaching with couples, with individuals, both?
Absolutely. It's individuals, couples, organizations, teams. I basically look at couples as being small teams, or teams as being very large couples. It's the same process. And I do coaching, seminars, workshops, and I have a book out called Kind Ambition.
Kind Ambition, great. And how can people reach you?
My website is www.optimizedresults. There's a hyphen between the optimized and the results.
Great. Thanks again for joining us, Ian. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for listening. For text and transcripts of this show and other shows in the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. Again, there's two L's in Personal Life Media. This is your host, Jason McClain, your guide in the 21st century marketplace.